Kick back, get the blues a spin. Break out the wine, forget again. Dig down deep, find my glass. Fill it up, take me back. Kick back, give the blues a spin. Break out the wine, forget again. Dig down deep, strike my match. Light it up, memory crash. Oh no, I don't know. Baby, might take all night, but I'll maybe break out that old rock and roll. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke. Gonna drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke, yeah.
Michelle Franz, and Russia is facing President Trump's deadline this week to agree to a ceasefire with Ukraine or face more sanctions. Today, President Trump spoke with Ukraine's leader.
Ukrainian President Zelensky saying he had a productive conversation with President Trump. The key focus was ending the war. The two also discussed sanctions on Russia and the finalization of a U.S.-Ukraine drone deal. This comes as Trump has grown increasingly frustrated with Russian President Putin, giving Putin until August 8th to make peace in Ukraine or face tougher sanctions. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
The Coast Guard is out with its final report of the Titan submersible implosion, finding that the incident 2 years ago was preventable. And had OceanGate's CEO survived, the Coast Guard investigators say they would recommend manslaughter charges to federal prosecutors. Texas Democrats who left the state to protest GOP redistricting maps are facing possible arrest. Texas lawmakers will attempt to reconvene the special session again today. This is ABC News. It's a story that's been making the rounds, and as it turns out, a zoo in Denmark is requesting people donate their furry pets as food for lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my.
The Aalborg Zoo is mostly looking for horses, older, sick horses that would be euthanized, the zoo says, and slaughtered to be fed to the lions, tigers, and other carnivores. As a thank you, you'll get a tax write-off and a warning. There may be a waiting list, so you might not be able to donate your trusty steed right away. The Danish Zoo's website also says they're accepting chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs, but no more than four at a time. And there's no mention if dogs and cats are included in the pet food donation program either. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
More than 700 wildfires are burning in Canada. That smoke has expanded to states here in the U.S., the Midwest, under another day of hazy skies. And New York City now has some of the worst air quality in the world. Logged today. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is stressing the importance of back-to-school vaccinations as the state had its first confirmed measles cases over the weekend. Bureau of Communicable Diseases Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ryan Westergaard.
Thanks to childhood vaccines, many illnesses like measles and pertussis that were once very common in childhood are now much less common. However, when vaccination rates decline, then cases of vaccine-preventable illnesses can surge.
DHS says the 9 cases are all in Oconto County and were exposed to a common source during out-of-state travel. police in a Madison suburb say they're prepared for one of the women accused in the Slender Man stabbings to come to the community.
Sun Prairie Police Chief Kevin Warrick says his officers are working with the Department of Health and Human Services to transition Morgan Geyser into the community. Geyser was recently granted release from a mental health institute over a decade after being committed in the attack on a classmate in Waukesha. Geyser's original release was held up because she would have been placed in a group home too close to her victim. She will be on GPS monitoring and will have to abide by conditions of her release. Geyser's location and move date are being kept private for her safety. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bear with a plastic jar stuck on its head was freed over the weekend in northwest Wisconsin.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the 70-pound, 2-year-old sow was first spotted with the jar on her head July 26th, and she traveled more than 50 miles for about a week while in that predicament. She was spotted in Sawyer, Bayfield, and Douglas counties. On Sunday, near Cable in Sawyer County, a trained wildlife professional was able to safely dart the bear with an immobilization drug so the jar could be removed. The sow has been relocated to a safe wooded area to recover. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Now's the time of year when most propane companies send out contracts for next year. But before you make a commitment, ask yourself, are you happy with the service you received? I mean, it's easy now, but what about during the coldest days of winter? Chippewa Valley Energy provides propane and fuel to over 13 counties in western Wisconsin. Most importantly, Chippewa Valley Energy brings you dependable deliveries with 24-hour service, no matter what the weather. And when it comes to home heat, Chippewa Valley Energy features a scheduled delivery program perfect for today's lifestyle. Visit their Facebook page or website, ChippewaValleyEnergy.com. Your energy choice made easy. Chippewa Valley Energy.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A hazy sunshine today as wildfire smoke still sticks in the area. Calm winds barely moving. Same air mass is still here. High temperatures today will scrape the low 80s. They do the same thing tomorrow, and hopefully by the afternoon the winds will start to kick up, pushing this air mass out of here. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, 78 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
We've got a couple of examples on today's show. The do I or don't I conversation is heating up on fungicides. We'll break that down. And we've got analysis on what EPA's proposal to rescind the endangerment finding might mean for agriculture.
Live, where your fun is never endangered, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Breaking Barriers with R&D. That's Randy Dowdy and David Hula. Then it's Jordan Fife, president of trading over at BioUrja. Then it's Charles Barron from FBN, and directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. The more I think about it, the more I dig into it, the more I learn about it, the potential impacts of the rescission of the endangerment finding, I think are real. They are a potential game changer on several different fronts, and we're going to talk about it today. We've got Jordan coming in here. He's got some thoughts on it. I've got some thoughts on it. I've collected some questions, some speculation, I guess. And you know what? It's not speculation because it, I mean, in the EPA announcement, they came right out and said what it means. If finalized, the proposal would repeal all resulting greenhouse gas emissions regulations for motor vehicles and engines. I mean, it's not final. There needs to be a final determination on this, and there is a period for public comment. But man, oh man, oh man, you talk about deregulating. This is something that trillions of dollars of rules and regulations have been based on over the past, what, how many years? 14 years?
Yeah. Mid-2000s, yeah. Something like that?
I think it was 2009. So
late 2000s, yeah.
This is really, really something. And we'll get We'll get Jordan's take on it here in just a little bit.
Dude, your for news is on point. You were at the front edge of this whole thing, and I'm like, what are you even talking about? And here we are. You're bringing the goods. Appreciate you, brother. That's good stuff. Well done.
Well, welcome to AgriTalk. And glad that you are with us this morning. We've got Dowdy and Hula coming up this morning, too. I said, the question on do I or don't I on fungicides is being asked more than what I've noticed in the past few years. So we'll try to get that question answered. Man, we got to jump to the news.
We got to go. Yeah, wildfire smoke continues to result in poor air quality. That's from the upper Midwest into the Northeast. The National Weather Service has issued air quality alerts over the upper Midwest and parts of the northeastern U.S. due to those Canadian wildfires. Meanwhile, in the weather, multiple days of hot, dry, and windy conditions are expected to bring fire weather concerns for portions of the Four Corners region into the central Great Basin and Rockies. Heavy rainfall and a flash flooding threat continues in the southeast. Severe thunderstorms continue across the northern plains. Chip private exporters reported sales of 128,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 25-26 marketing year. I think that's right. Pretty sure.
Yes. And USDA thinks that right. When it was first announced, it was soybeans to unknown destinations, new crop beans, and my phone lit up. As I finally, China's showing up. And then they changed it from soybeans to corn, and my phone lit up again with, oh, never mind.
Well, USDA yesterday rated the U.S. corn crop in 73% in good to excellent condition. That's steady with last week. 42% now in dough stage, which compares to 44% last year. But the average chip is 40%, so still ahead of average there. Corn 6% dented compared to 6% last year and 6% on average. Too many sixes. Pro Farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier said, quote, the hot and humid weather during July was generally beneficial for the corn, except for isolated pollination issues, but good July rains, he says, probably offset losses from that poor pollination. The soybean crop condition declined 1% to 69% good to excellent. Those nighttime temps in July, warmer than normal, third highest since 2000, behind only 2011 and 2012.
Wow, I couldn't believe that when I saw that. That's an impressive stat. But Michael is saying, Cordonier, get it to pollination as fast as you can and then slow it down.
Right. Well, Chip, India rebuffed criticism from the United States and European Union over its Russian oil imports, calling the criticism, quote, unjustified and unreasonable. Indian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Randhir Jaiswal said on Monday, the purchases of Russian oil were crucial for maintaining affordable and stable fuel prices for Indian customers. The pushback followed President Trump's threat to impose steep tariffs on India for trading in Russian oil. Other trade news, after raising tariffs on Canada from 25 to 35% last week, Trump further raised Canadian ire with a post on Truth Social, saying Canada's support of a Palestinian state would make it difficult to make a deal. This after Trump accused Canada of not working hard enough to stem the flow of deadly fentanyl over the northern border. And finally, in what appears to be a response to antitrust allegations in the ongoing FTC versus John Deere right to repair lawsuit, John Deere's unveiled a revamped digital service platform that might facilitate some home repair. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Mouth. Good morning, Karen.
Hello, Chip.
All right, so you and I have talked several times about how the dairy industry is using data and new technology and now artificial intelligence to move the industry forward. What's the latest conversations there?
Well, the latest conversation, you know, I have to smile because a lot of times dairy producers never want to be associated being the tech guru. But whether they like it or not, they need to be, Chip, or somebody on their farm needs to be. The amount of data that they collect on farms is tremendous. And so really what needs the conversation is, who's going to be that point person? Are you going to take it yourself, or are you going to assign it to another employee? And really just understanding that data is only as strong as the person behind it, if you will, meaning like who's going to be entering it and who's going to be looking at the analytics from it. because all that data, there's a lot of analytics behind it. It means a lot for dairy, and it means a lot for dairy profitability.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, data only gets you so far. Then you got to put the analysis on it and take the analysis and be able to put that into a practical use in the dairy. And it that's a huge level of skill. A lot of it's common sense, I want to say.
I think it's common sense, yeah. But yeah. I think it's also like, okay, so if you're going to do it yourself or if you're going to put somebody else on that task, is kind of training them for it. Not just the data entry, but it's the analytics, is understanding that, diving into that. And so it's about the accuracy on what's being put in and what's being put out. You know, when we did the State of the Dairy Industry Report, Chip, earlier this year, we asked them, our surveyors, the dairy producers, the interest in technology. And by no surprise, you know, it was an explosion. More than a third of them were diving into this. So this is just a start of more conversation to come, because all this data means a lot of things.
Get more on this story and a whole lot more at www.dairyherd.com.
Today's Dairy Report is brought to you by Clarified Plus from Zoetis. Tune in to the Clarity at Work podcast anywhere you find podcasts or at clarifiedplus.com.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairymen and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready?
Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Emplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
Cowbell in two.
Yeah, that sounded pretty good, didn't it?
That's not bad at all. Good. This is all I could afford on my sidekick salary.
Welcome back. to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. And it's time already for another conversation with Randy Doughty, David Hula, Breaking Barriers with R&D. Let's bring them in. Randy, it's good to talk with you again this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing real fine, real fine. Now, last time I think I started with David on what are you seeing, what are you hearing. I'm going to start with you this week. What are you seeing, what are you hearing?
I was in Illinois and southern Michigan, part of Indiana. And there's no doubt about it. There's a crop to be had for sure. If they keep getting rain, it's going to be big in parts of Illinois that I was in. I was near the Champaign area and Bloomington area and then southern Michigan. And crops look good. They just got to finish. Starting to see quite a bit of tar spot. Even saw some southern rust. So our guys that we were with were very aggressive. Some had just sprayed and some were about to spray the same day we were leaving. So I hope we coached them into doing that, Chip. My advice right now is we've got a crop. Now let's protect it. Don't let Mother Nature take it with diseases. So we've got a crop. Now let's protect what we got. So that means insects, disease control. And if you're going to make a pass across the field this late, it's a no-brainer. Most fungicides are going to last about 3 weeks. And that's all you're going to get out of them. So it's a no-brainer to consider it. But when you're doing it, control some insects, throw some boron in there. You got to pass across the field, make it happen.
Okay. All right. Hey, real quick, how close are you to harvesting the crop down in Georgia?
Georgia's rolling. There's a lot of guys down there that are harvesting. I got a buddy of mine that's harvesting some corn down there this week, and he's never been over 260, 270, and he's got some 325 bushel field averages as we speak. So it's strong, Chip. I've heard some really good numbers out of Georgia from a lot of our growers. Obviously, in the scheme of things, we don't matter. They plant more in one county probably than we do in Georgia, in Iowa, right? But in the scheme of things, these boys need to make money, and the price is not allowing them to make money. So I've told them all, now let's make some yield. And let's protect the yield opportunities we got. So,
Gotcha. What about soybeans down there, Randy?
Soybeans are, I saw some this week when I was home. They're 10 days. Some of the really early planted indeterminates are 10 days from harvest. That's probably 3 weeks earlier than normal. But there's some guys down there getting ready to harvest some indeterminate beans for sure. The leaves are about knocked off of them, and some of them are desiccating them. They're going to be getting them soon. If the afternoon thunderstorms quit raining every day, they'll be getting beans next, too.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Let's bring in David Hula out of Virginia. Hey, David, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm not in Virginia today, Chip. I find myself in Devlin, Wisconsin, at Pioneer or Corteva next to event. You know, they're biological things, so they got a kickoff training meeting, and we're out in the field looking at some of the crops right now. But just to give you an idea, Virginia is getting eat up with worms now. They just started showing up, and corn, you know, milk lines halfway down on some of the earliest stuff, so that's 200 GDUs left to go to black layer. And so we're getting dangerously close to harvest. Beans, you know, like Daddy was saying, got to protect. So we're focusing on the fungicide spray and, you know, of course, insects, you know, mostly worms. Not seeing many stink bugs, but while you're doing it, might as well control both of them because there's a few.
What worms? Are you talking about earworms or what?
Some of the corn, you know, the worms done obviously left some of the corn. The moths been flying. They've laid eggs. Now they're turning into worms. So loopers and earworms. So they're the two bigger ones. I did hear one guy say he found some army worms down in Carolina. So, you know, that's clearly a different concern there because, you know, they'll just eat like a cow will going right across the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're focusing on those. But, you know, particularly since we're, you know, people say with the worms, the pods are going to get tight or tougher. But indeterminates, you're going to have a lot of late pods on the top, and you know, we get concerned about stink bugs on those. just so we don't let them sting them and then cut in some of the yield. But, you know, we're doing air part to keep the price high. You know, we have a crop. You know, we have a probably average or above average crop, but nothing off the chain good on corn wise. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the tassel wrap and all. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Randy, when you were talking about going out and putting a fungicide pass out there, you called it a no-brainer. There's a lot of guys out there that don't think it's a no-brainer this year. They're asking the question, you know, saying, listen, I don't have disease pressure out. And I'm talking about corn right now, okay? They're saying, I don't have disease pressure. This crop looks great the way it is. If I can save the money, I'm going to save the money. What's your advice to them?
Well, you can't save your way to prosperity, but you can spend your way broke, Chip. And there's a fine line. But we have a crop, and I have seen one of our growers in Pennsylvania, Jasea. He does a lot of application for a lot of growers, and he showed me a leaf that had one dot on it. In the span of 10 days, it was completely dead. So we went from one leaf visible or one spot on one leaf visible, the same leaf. He tracked it every 4 to 5 days. And after about 10 days, it was completely dead. The problem is there's not a lot of curative in most of these fungicides. And most guys are not scouting the crop closely enough to catch it. And whereas a lot of windshield farmers, as you well know, they got to get out there and they got to spend some time in the fields to see what they got. And for me, especially with the nighttime temperatures in the Midwest being above 70 to 75 degrees at night or greater, you know, the fungicide, the respiration qualities associated with it, and the fact that you can get 3 weeks of protection, hopefully to keep from having a disease take the crop, it's an absolute no-brainer. It is not somewhere where I would save money.
Okay. All right. And David.
Well, and another thing there, Chip, Chip, in reference to that, for growers that are trying to say, hey, we can't afford or we're trying to watch a dollar. Corn's under $4 now for, you know, nearby corn. December is just over $4. Well, don't spray the whole farm. Go spray some because, you know, we've talked about you can plant your crop fast, but you can't harvest it all at one time. So whatever you spray, you know, it's going to have a chance to live longer, stay green longer, put more in. Energy into the kernel, and then you can portion your harvest. Go harvest your stuff that you didn't spray, then save some of that you sprayed for later. So let's spread our harvesting power out too. Another way to justify
and then when you
that
see,
application.
Then when you see that it made money, you're gonna kick yourself if you didn't spray at all. So life's about choices, Chip.
Yep.
I agree with David 100%.
I think David just said turn your whole farm into a plot test on fungicides for this year. Okay, boy, we better jump to your podcast. You had a conversation with Brian Herbeck this week. What was the conversation, David?
Well, the take home was that they hadn't turned their irrigations on in Nebraska. So I'm like, oh my goodness. So. That's good for the irrigated acres. That just means they're still going to have a 300 bushel crop. But for all the corners in the non-irrigated crop, that means they're going to have a good crop there. Now, they might not be 300 because they probably didn't plant it this thick and all. But the take home for me was that this is a real crop. You know, we're going to have the high yield. You know, I'm going to do my part during the Pro Farmer Crop Tour to say the crop's not as good as it is. But, we probably have a good crop. And then, you know, he talked about, you know, because they hadn't turned it on, what does that mean? They're getting plenty of rain, and Dowdy said it. So we got to protect it. That's the other take home. They're getting moisture. He said, I talked to him just Friday last week, and they got another inch and a half of rain. So that means that they got the potential for disease. So I really, you know, I did a cab chat on Total Acre the other day, and I said the hardest thing to do is for a farmer to put his pickup in park and open the door and walk in the field. Growers need to do that. And Dowdy said it articulated very well. We've got to scout. And that was, you know, that's one thing about the Total Acre members, you know, they're scouting, and Brian, that's what he saw. And he's like, man, I got a crop, and you know, they're putting fungicides on. So
gotcha.
It seems like that's all we're wanting to talk about right now, but we want to finish this crop.
Got to finish the crop. That's a great point. Hey, you guys talking about crop tour, You both are going to be in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. That is the final day of Crop Tour. You're going to be into Rochester early to take part in the Farm Journal Yield Academy. Just go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com. Check that out. When you're there, use the code AgriTalk to sign up, and it'll save you half. Guys, great report today. Love your takeaways. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks. David Hula, Randy Dowdy, Breaking Barriers with R&D here on AgriTalk.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastat Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastat.com. Available for the 2027 season.
At Estes Performance Concaves, we know how valuable your time is at harvest. That's why we designed the new XPR Concave System. The XPR system is the number one performance concave system on the market, surpassing the rest in both speed and efficiency, ensuring every last grain from your field gets into your tank. Plus, XPR Concaves work for all row crops. No more changing concaves, meaning you have less downtime. Take back your bushels this harvest. Get Estes Performance Concaves in your combine today.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are mixed. Reporting from Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk up 23 to 1834, October up 1 to 1843, November down 1 to 1848, December steady at 1833. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, triple-digit gains once again in the cattle markets as traders continue to be confident in the market's fundamental footing as they were yesterday. Now, again, with the strong demand in the countryside for feeder cattle, that is helping to support the markets as well. Even though cash markets were quiet, hog markets also move higher today as well. Traders continue to find enough support in the marketplace to blow past the previous resistance levels, and that's also led to additional buying interest. August live cattle up 390 to 234.80. August feeder cattle up 585 to 341.25. August hogs up 65 cents to 108.82. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower as corn's at fresh lows again, even though they're now into oversold conditions. Again, there's rising yield ideas and little other fresh news to support the market. Soybeans also following suit, mostly lower again due to those rising yields. Wheat markets also moving mostly lower. Spring wheat harvest pressure and weakness in the rest of the row crops. New crop corn down 4.5 to 402.5. New crop beans down 1.25.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
The drive-thru window is now open at J.M. Watkins Meats, serving hot coffee Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 to 2. J.M. Watkins Meats has an online store where you can order all of your favorite cuts of beef, pork, and lamb from local farmers for that Labor Day holiday get-together. Order for in-store pickup or order in advance and pick up at the drive-thru. Visit jmwatkinsmeats.com or visit them in person 3 miles west of Plum City on Highway 10.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
jeans. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. We are going to jump straight to a conversation with Jordan Fife. Jordan is the president of trading at BioUrja down in Houston. He joins us right now. Jordan, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Morning, guys. How y'all doing? I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. I'm going right to the one. I'm not going to make any pre-conversation comments about it. I just want your take on EPA's proposal to rescind the endangerment findings. How big of a deal is this?
It's potentially a very big deal, Chip. It would kind of kneecap the 45Z. I mean, if you were to classify carbon as a non-greenhouse gas, and therefore you would not be able to sequester it and monetize it. So it would be a very big deal. And it's something that we in the biofuel space are keeping a very close eye on.
Yeah, a very close eye. All of a sudden, you're looking at the pipeline projects up here in the Midwest and saying, whew, man, there's $5 billion that potentially, because this is not a done deal, but $5 billion that potentially shouldn't have been spent. Is that kind of the bottom line?
It's not just the pipelines. I mean, it's the actual downwell sequestration. I mean, you look at a One Earth Energy that's in Gibson City, Illinois, or in Decatur, Illinois, where they're currently ADM VCP is the largest sequester of carbon currently in the country. All of that becomes pretty null and void if carbon is no longer classified as a greenhouse gas. There are multiple projects underway right now in West Texas, in Illinois, in Kentucky, and other places that this would kneecap. And it comes on the heels of what seemed to be extremely bullish 45Z announcements where we got everything we wanted. And it felt a little too good to be true. And this kind of feels like a backdoor. There's a couple backdoors. There's this and there's small refinery exemptions that are concerning. And Chip, you said it. It's not like it's done. No, there's no ink on paper. Nothing has been done. But the fact that it's being floated is concerning for sure.
Okay. Now, could this impact the RVOs, which were also very positive for soybean oil, for ethanol? I mean, they were consistent for corn-based ethanol.
Absolutely.
But could it impact the RVOs?
I don't know how it would specifically impact the RVO, right? I don't think it would. So it would not affect, you know, what we're going to blend ethanol into or anything like that. Now, it would affect the profitability of multiple plants. And again, the ones we're talking about, the ones in West Texas, the ones, you know, your Decaturs, your Gibson Cities, your Dakotas, all those places that have rock formations that you can make a well on site or close, vastly affect their profitability. And then you alluded to it earlier, Chip, these pipeline projects that are, if you're in Nebraska or somewhere like that, that doesn't have the geological formations to build a well near, you build a pipeline. And there has been billions and billions of dollars and a ton of work done to get eminent domain, et cetera. It would kneecap it. I have a feeling that it was one, whether by purpose or by chance, that this was more of a trial balloon. And the Chuck Grassleys of the world and the rest of the ag senators and congressmen are definitely going to say, whoa, whoa, what are we doing here? You know, there's a way that we can still thread the needle and satisfy both parties. And maybe it becomes carbon still remains a greenhouse gas and they remove something else or they give the refining and other industries another token. But I feel like, again, it's counterintuitive to what they've already stated. And 45Z appears again to kind of be in the can. It feels like the wheels of motion are too far gone to back it up. So I just don't believe that they're going to kneecap it this early after we've gotten the headlines and this dramatically. It just doesn't feel right to me. I have nothing to back that up, but it is concerning, and you are on the right path to be concerned.
Dude, this is awesome insights into the whole situation here. The other thing on the RVOs, the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, preceded the endangerment finding. So this whole process of a renewable volume obligation, the endangerment finding has nothing to do with that. So I gotta believe that the RVOs would be quote unquote safe on this. What might it mean for sustainable aviation fuel?
you know, that's a great question. I mean, sustainable aviation fuel has got a couple pathways going. I mean, the big one, obviously, is will ethanol ever be a feedstock to it? I don't know if it affects that, you know, but we're dealing in a lot of unknowns right now. But carbon sequestration does not tie directly to sustainable aviation fuel. Credits and everything like that make sustainable aviation fuel comparable to a jet fuel. Right now, I mean, just so we all know, sustainable aviation fuel is much more expensive. Renewable diesel is more expensive than just regular distillate. But the credits and everything like that, the LCFS program in California, it's kind of moved to Oregon. It's moving around a little bit on the West Coast. All those things will remain in place. I don't think it would directly affect sustainable aviation fuel.
Okay.
I don't see how it would. But again, aviation fuel, you know, no pun intended, really hasn't gotten off the ground that much. It's more of a what's happening next kind of commodity.
Right.
Renewable diesel is here. It would not really affect renewable diesel that much, in my opinion. Again, it more comes down to the profitability of ethanol plants that are sequestering down into a well right now. That's the first domino that would fall. And again, like you said, it is the billions of dollars that have already spent that would literally just evaporate into thin air and go, well, we can't monetize this. Why are we going to continue to pursue it?
Right, right. You know, the other thing on SAF is that's an international issue. European rules, laws, regulations mm-hmm. will have an impact on how that fuel develops down the road. Another thing on this is that we're talking about the federal nationwide rule and regulation here. States could still come in and say, listen, that's hooey. We're going to stick with our low carbon fuel initiatives, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there has been, you know, the Trump administration has kind of pushed on California and say, hey, this is unconstitutional or whatever. They've made that move, but we haven't seen it go to court. It would be drawn out for a very long time, you know. But you're right. The states have the ability to do this. You know, everything gets focused around LCFS, but there are other states that have other requirements other than LCFS. You know, there's been low yep. sulfur requirements. There's been low carbon requirements.
Yes.
It is the state's rights to do that. And there are other states that are looking at the California model, like we talked about. Oregon, Illinois has been brought up multiple times. The Northeast has been brought up. And it feels like there's momentum behind all of that. It helps to have a federal government, obviously, behind you. That is how we have the RFS. The RFS is, like as you said, it is a law. It is passed all of the Congress and everything like that. And it happened, as you previously alluded to, under George Bush Jr., it happened right. ages ago, and the requirements that you're speaking of for carbon sequestration happened two administrations later. So they're not tied together, but they are distant cousins, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I think that's a great way of explaining it right there, Jordan. That's well done. Diesel exhaust fluid, DEF. I think this would get rid of DEF, wouldn't it, if they would push this through to final?
It could, yes. I believe there's a very real pathway to eliminate that. If they tie it to it, it would honestly kind of make sense. If you're, you know, reducing greenhouse gases, what qualifies for it? Yeah, I think you're right. I've never actually considered it, but yes, it very well could lead to that.
Yeah, yeah, interesting, dude. What else is happening in the biofuels markets that we need to know about?
I would keep a very close eye right now on bean oil. It's a huge deal. You know, with the 45Z and everything like that that came through, bean oil prices have elevated. Bean oil prices have obviously elevated along with distillate prices. However, none of that goes into effect till 2026, and the prices are in September and everything like that. It's gone up a lot. I think that's a good thing, obviously, for the ag community, but I would not be surprised if we had a pullback before 2026. So be prepared for that. Distillates of us obviously also run up, which is not a renewable or anything like that, but the two now are tied so closely together by what is commonly referred to as the boho spread, the bean oil heating oil spread. Distillates have gone up a lot, which has in turn, rising tide lifts all boats, raised the price of bean oil and just the need to crush more beans. But again, before 2026 kicks off, fundamentally speaking, I think that we are looking at a pullback in bean oil. And the reason why is because renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel currently are not profitable to make. They're going to try to reduce their runs as much as possible. You're either going to need the RIN price to go up or you're going to need one of the two other mechanisms to move while the other one stands still. So I am keeping a close eye on bean oil. It's had a great run, and I don't think it's going to go back to, you know, 20 cents or something like that, but it could pull back from the 50s down into the 40s before we get to 2026.
Okay. All right. Good perspective there. Okay. Oil, geez, this is mean to you, but I'm going to ask you to do it in like 30, 40 seconds. Crude oil outlook?
Crude oil outlook right now, it's in the 60s. I think it's going to remain there. Obviously, we've had some pretty big geopolitical events happen that have not pushed it to the 80s and been able to sustain. You might get a run to the 70s or something like that. Obviously, Russia, we've got some tensions there. Trump is trying to punish not only Russia, but India, because India is the largest buyer of Russian oil. But with all of those geopolitical headlines, we've still remained under $80, and I don't see a reason why we should push past it anytime soon.
All right, gotcha. Jordan, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. I know that you've got a busy, busy schedule today.
All good.
And I love it that that you came on here and we could have this conversation. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine. You guys have a wonderful day.
Fantastic. Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrja. There is a lot riding on this. I mean, the first thing he said, right out the chute, this would kneecap 45Z. Holy smokes, we got a lot of digging to do.
Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Brian Winnikins at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Thank you to some of our Farm Tech Days sponsors, including the Wisconsin Beef Council, Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, also the Wisconsin Soybean Board as well, and also Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley. Over the next few days here at Clinton Farms, come on out and join us, and we're at the Comrose booth there in spot 879, 8th in Wisconsin is where we're at. Kennedy joins us, and we're going to talk about some of the things here at the Comroe booth. Kennedy, thanks for joining us. Well, you got all of the cool Bobcat toys out here, don't you?
Yeah, we got some Bobcat mowers, a Gravely mower, Bobcat UTV XL, bedding spreader, and a Toolcat at our booth here today.
Okay, the Toolcat. I know of the Bobcat. What's the Toolcat?
So the Toolcat's well known for municipality use. You can have a three-point attachment on the back of it on one of them, and then you have your standard skid steer plate on the front of it. Pretty much good for everything.
Wow. All right. And the one of the things, at least at Comroe's, you got the whole selection back at home. But one of the things you guys do, and you've helped me out at the tower site, is for those that may not need to buy one, you can help out by renting one.
Yes, we do offer a pretty good line of rentals in our both locations, actually. And if you ever need some help, just give me a call at the Duran location, or reach out to the Whitehall one too.
The other part of it is you even show me how to use it.
Yes, I can. I do show people how to use it. It's preferred that way. Then we don't have any accidents or anything bad happen.
Plus, they also deliver, too. But come on out and join us over the next few days here at Clinton Farms for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. I'm Brian Winnikins on WRDN.
Soybean and Cornfields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The Combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer Corn and Soybean Seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
Farmers and ranchers, RCIS is here for you. We're here with responsive claim service, so you can rest easy no matter what comes your way. Here with local agents who understand your operation. And here with coverage options to support you through increased input costs and market prices. Talk to your agent about your risk management plan or visit rcis.com. At RCIS, we're here when it matters most.
RCIS is an equal opportunity provider. Coverage is underwritten by Rural Community Insurance Company.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. LoveLost is a free, easy-to-use database utilizing photo matching technology to search participating shelter partners and social platforms to bring pets home. Simply upload a photo to report a lost or found pet to the largest free lost and found database, or pre-register your pet today so you're ready if the unthinkable happens. With over 100,000 reunions and counting, LoveLost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Man, oh man, good conversation there with Jordan Fife from BioUrja. A lot of things in there that we need to dig into going forward. But now we are going to have a conversation with Charles Barron, the co-founder at FBN. Charles, it is great to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be with you, Chip.
Glad you are here. So we're talking about this week we're going to take a couple of opportunities to talk about how artificial intelligence, technology, innovation, how these things are reshaping segments of agriculture. And you know, it's not surprising to say this, Charles, but things are changing at FBN, and technology and data are driving the changes. Talk to me about some of the investments that FBN is making in its platform.
Yeah, well, great to be with you. You know, so a couple things. I mean, you know, when we talk about AI, I think, you know, AI can mean so many things, and it's really not something that, you know, producers need to be intimidated about. You know, we're looking to make AI just as helpful as an assistant and as an advisor, and as natural as something in someone that you just talk to and have a regular conversation with. So, you know, we've built our platform called Norm, which is our AI agronomic advisor. And we've trained that on chemical intelligence, label intelligence, tank mixing, pest and disease management. So it's specifically trained to help producers with those kind of decisions and advice. And it's there for you 24 hours a day, right? It's really, instead of Googling something, you just talk to AI and it will, you know, get you the answers and will help you talk in a normal way, as opposed to going and Googling and searching for everything. That's really the basic difference of what an AI does for you today. Now we're looking at then merging in all of a producer's marketing information so that you can go tap into all local grain market prices and then eventually tie in other precision data that a farm's generating. So when you get advice or when you talk to somebody, effectively it has the full context of your local market environment and your local field conditions. So it's really, really remarkable as to what you can start doing when, you know, the AI is hooked up to, you know, the types of information your farm's producing. Get your marketing advice, agronomic advice, you know, soil and fertility advice. It's just, you can ask machinery diagnostics and get machinery repair tips. It's incredible. And so that's just going to get more and more capable for farmers as those systems start becoming more interconnected.
Yeah, Charles, you and I have talked about this before. It doesn't matter if we're talking about farmers, if we're talking about electricians, if we're talking about brain surgeons. If a system like this isn't user-friendly, nobody's going to use it. And Norm seems to be very user-friendly, very intuitive.
Yeah, exactly. And I think every time we go through a big, you know, technical revolution like this, you know, people go, oh, geez, sounds like a lot, seems intimidating. And in fact, this is probably one of the easiest, you know, systems to interact with and get value out of. You just talk to it. You just chat with it, just like you would a person. And you can ask it anything you want. You can be very rude to it. In fact, the more you push it, and the more you demand to get the answer you want, the better it actually does, because it needs very direct instruction. So you can say, you know, you can swear at it, you can do whatever you want. It's not going to get insulted. Doesn't have feelings. It's going to help you out.
Gotcha. Okay, so. What is new at FBN? You've got some additions of private label and third party crop protection products on your platform, don't you?
Yeah, a big thing that we're focused on is creating a marketplace of products that farmers need. You know, basically, FBN has always wanted to connect growers and create a better way for them to buy and sell their farm goods and manage their farms. And we want to have the most broadest set of competitive products that a farm can buy and have delivered direct and with an easy, you know, financing process so that it's very easy for them to purchase. So we've just been expanding the platform a lot this year, opening it up to more and more manufacturers and companies who want to list their products on FBN. And so this year we'll be getting back to seed. We sort of reshaped our strategy this last year. So you will see, you know, sort of national corn and soybean offers with major traits. You'll see cover crops on FBN. You'll see seed treatments on FBN. You'll start to see more equipment parts and machinery supplies on FBN, all of which are just going to be, you know, kind of a very simple purchase experience and with transparent pricing, which is the goal. And then we have a whole big livestock side of FBN as well, which producers make a lot of use out of.
Yeah, I was just going to say the livestock guys are standing over there with their hand in the air right now, Charles, saying, hey, what about us? But it looks like you're expanding the platform and products available to livestock producers too.
Oh, yeah. That's actually the fastest growing part of FBN. So we have about 7,000 products on there right now. And, you know, we'll have many, many more than that over the next year. Something livestock producers can do is you can go on and look at liquid feed, and we're doing this for mineral and tubs as well. But you can see exactly what the cost of those bulk orders are to get delivered to the farm wherever you are in the country, if you're in our core service area.
Still expanding in Canada, or has the trade issues kind of created some problems there?
No, expanding very much in Canada. Actually, we expanded, added a big new wheat portfolio in Canada, and we're opening two new warehouses in Canada this year, up in northern Canada, and then down in Brandon and Saskatchewan. That's been really great. You know, one thing, you know, this year, in chemicals, we saw nearly hit, you know, the chemical market sort of bottom out. We had very steep prices the last couple of years. Those prices really bottomed out, and then we've been helping producers navigate these tariffs.
Outstanding, Charles. Man, it's always it is always fun to catch up with you. I appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Absolutely, great to be with you.
All right, that is Charles Barron, co-founder at Farmers Business Network (FBN). All right, thank you so much for listening this morning, man. If you didn't hear the conversation with Dowdy and Hula, go back and listen to that. If you didn't hear the conversation with Jordan Fife, you got to go back and listen to that one. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Mark Schultz from North Star. And coming at you this tomorrow morning, we've got Jim Minturn and at Farmer Forum right here on AgriTalk.
Looking to amplify your soybean yield potential? Let's talk about soybean blends. Not every seed company offers them, but there's a reason they're Champion Seed's best-selling products at every maturity. With the blend, the traits from both varieties help maintain your yield potential and protect you from the floor. And these blends consistently yield higher than the individual varieties combine to make them. See what they can do for your yields at plantchampion.com.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Juice box. I'm a mom.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check. Oh, hot sauce. Take it.
Really? I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. A balloon. Wait one sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, due line, $100 per month on Experience Beyond. Finance agreement, $829.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge. Payout via virtual prepaid card. Love 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
I'm Michelle Franzen. The Texas House gaveled in for roll call, but didn't have enough. Lawmakers need